Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, Dynamite Show. Jeff over there, Paul over here. We got a show to talk about.
Hi tonight. Everybody! Oh, what a great show we had tonight. Is everybody ready for the learning tree of Paul Fontaine and Jeff Hawkins? Oh my goodness, what a phenomenal show we had here. We had wrestling, we had angles, we had promos, we had video packages.
Wow. I was
acting,
not expecting that.
Genius.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're all here on Wrestling Observer. Fight Game Media.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, so I'm back. AEW is in Canada this week.
See,
but
I thought you were doing a low energy bit for the opener there, and I wasn't sure where that was going, so I decided.
Contrary to popular opinion, our live numbers are actually going down right now. contrary to popular opinion,
Hawkins.
Even though AEW Dynamite was in Canada, it's not like next door. Like Edmonton's actually pretty far, so I didn't go to the show. I'm here with you. I could have actually done the Dynamite Show last week. As I told you guys, I pulled into my garage at like, half hour after Rampage ended. I watched the show this week. It was so weird because after last week, I think they only announced two matches for this show. Mm-hmm. And, I'm like, I wonder what's going to be on the show. And, by the time the show started, I still wasn't quite sure what was going to be on the show, and I'm not sure they were either. We ended up getting five matches. We got a bunch of segments and a bunch of stuff happened. And I got to say, I did a run-in with you guys last week, right? On the Dynamite Show. After
I had a very good babysitter last week.
Yeah. So my friend who I went to the show with, who I think I referred to because he listened back, and I referred to him as a casual AEW fan, and he took exception to that. And the reason being is he watches Dynamite every week, and he watches Collision and Rampage sometimes. So he feels that makes him, it's pretty much a diehard AEW fan. He watches every week. But he's got some concerns. And let me explain this to you I'm not going to call him casual. I'm going to call us hardcore maniacs. I don't know about you. And he's normal. He's a normal person that watches the show every week.
Let me cut you off here real quick, because I did this last week as well for a random Twitter stuff.
Oh, okay.
Where it was a person from another part of my life who just happened to be talking about professional wrestling and wanted an alternative to WWE but couldn't get into AEW.
Oh, okay. You should tell him TNA?
No. He didn't want that either. He'd like to like AEW. He's not a big fan of Japanese strong style. He doesn't understand 20-minute matches that have no point.
Okay.
And his thing on offense was, I like offense that looks real that doesn't hurt, not offense that doesn't look real that actually hurts.
This is my friend too, because I will say he doesn't like a lot of the women's wrestling. And it's not that he doesn't like women's wrestling. It's that he doesn't feel a lot of it looks realistic. When you've got these small women that are hitting each other, it doesn't feel like they're hurting each other. So he loves Willow. He loves, okay. He likes, I think he said he likes Serena, but he's bored by her. He likes like Charlotte, Rhea, you know, Piper, Nyla Rose, Nia Jax. Like he likes women that look like they could hurt you, but but when it's like women, you know, like Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan and, you know, Katie and Casey and, you know, whatever their names are now, you know, like he doesn't like that stuff because it just looks like it's fake. And even some of the smaller guys like, Sammy, I think is one he may have mentioned, just cause like he does spectacular things, but it's hard to take him seriously.
Okay.
Cause he's small. Or I think I would bet we didn't.
Sami Zayn is not small.
No, not Sami Zayn. Sammy Guevara.
Oh, Sammy Guevara. Okay.
Yeah. When I bet you he would like Darby. I didn't ask him about Darby, but I assume Darby would be the exception because
yes.
Even though he's small, he looks like he hurts.
He looks like he's hurting quite a bit.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
after taking on a bus.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, but his main complaint about AEW was that he says like too many times I turn on the show and I'm asking myself like, why are these guys wrestling? Who is that person?
Okay.
And he says, and I'm not like, he says, I watch 15 to 20 hours of wrestling a week. And if I don't know who they are, who does, you know, like, and he says, we got these random guys coming in from Japan, from Mexico, from other places, and they think that we know who they are. And the first time we see them, they're usually losing, and then we don't see them again. And then 6 months later, they come back and they tell you, oh, he had a great match 6 months ago, and then he has another match and he loses again. Or you get guys like Rocky Romero that they tell you is great, but I watch him and I'm bored by him and he loses all the time.
I told you he was great for 20 minutes this week. I don't.
Yeah. And when Paul, I say I'm referring
Paul,
to him.
I was made fun of for making this point that this might be a turnoff for people because everybody knows everything and everybody's on Twitter and everybody's on message boards.
Nobody's on Twitter message board. As simple as the fact that one of the first things that they said on the show today was Taz is on the mend. And I'm like, what? From what? And then I was immediately told on Twitter, oh, well, he's got this, he's got that, he's got... Where are you getting all this information? Oh, well, if you follow Taz on Twitter, you'd know. I don't follow Taz on Twitter. Oh, well, you know, they said it, this and that. And was it on the show?
They like, are at the arena and they are living in their own world on
yes,
that day.
Yes, because, I mean, yeah, like all it would have taken was Excalibur to say, you know, as some of you may know, Taz has had some knee issues. He's taking some time off.
Yes.
Our best wishes go out to Taz. That's it. Instead of Taz is on the mend. Let's move on. Like, you know, and then he's back next week anyways. Why did they even say anything? Why didn't they just say Taz is having a much deserved week off?
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
I'm cool with that too.
Like, yeah. Like instead they say he's on the mend. Like, did I miss an attack? Like I remember when Jericho shoved him. Like, but that was a few weeks ago. Like, it's like, I know I was at the show last week. Maybe there was something backstage that I missed.
And that would be the most selling for an injury in wrestling for a while.
Yeah. Well, no, Kenny looks like he's at death's door. he's not as strong as Tony Khan, apparently.
No.
Because TK, he's running the show. He's making matches. He's making stiffs. He's... If they didn't tell us,
Kenny, can't you bring a laptop to the hospital? What's your problem?
If they didn't tell us that Tony Khan wasn't there, would we know Tony Khan wasn't there?
No, and I was looking so forward to seeing him on TV this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because you got a guy who you rarely see on TV, occasionally comes out and makes an announcement, but 90% of the shows he's not on, and they have to make a point of telling you he's not there. But if you did, they didn't tell us he wasn't there. We wouldn't know. He's still making matches anyways. So what's the difference? And what? We'll get into that on the show.
Paul, they did an interesting television thing. If you came out of this show and you asked, what was the major angle?
Oh, you've done this before.
That was forwarded. if you're going to do a log line of this TV show. I think I've phrased it in this way too. If you're going to do a log line of a summary of this TV show overall, and it doesn't have to be.
They made the main event for Double or Nothing. That was the main thing.
Oh, so Anarchy in the Arena is your main event.
Oh, 100%. Now, granted, I wouldn't like to me, that's not my choice.
No,
but
it's not.
I'm saying that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no question. No question.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Because they did this on the same show where they laid out their world champion.
Oh, who cares? He's an idiot. There's not a damn person in the world that didn't know that the Mobile Embassy was turning on him.
I know.
The way they set that up, having his back to them.
You missed my point, though. I mean, my point is that the world champion is supposed to be the most important thing in your company, and they're wondering why people don't watch this show at times.
Okay, when's the last time the world champion was the most important thing in the company?
Kenny. Maybe. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, the whole MJF reign.
Maybe Mox, maybe Punk for a short time.
I mean, there was the odd show where MJF main evented, and maybe you could have said that was the main event of that show. But most of the time, the big shows, you go back in MJF's reign, it was the Double or Nothing. It was Anarchy in the Arena.
But
Forbidden Door, he was in the opener.
But it doesn't matter that your world champ got laid out because it wasn't the worst beating on anybody. And none of these beatings mattered, and we had a lot of beatings tonight. This was heel beatdown week.
Well, that might have been the worst one.
Compared to what they did to Orange Cassidy?
He was up 2 minutes later, five seconds later.
You're making my point for me that I'm about to make in this opening match, but please continue.
Well, no, I'm just saying, I'd say maybe the guy who looks like
he got a power bomb. Who? Or a couple of them. Swerve. Oh.
Swerve was down 7-1 in guys, and somehow he escaped with just a power bomb. That's pretty, pretty incredible. Where is Nana?
I think they made a point not to mention Nana because I think next week's going to be whose side is he on and was he paid off and did he know about it?
Oh no, he's going to get power bombed too.
I agree.
Yeah. I have so many questions. And I mean, I'm really trying. One of my very good friends says, you tweet, you got to look at your Twitter and I'll bet you 75% of your stuff is negative on AEW. And you tell me you like AEW. And I'm like, well, I want to like AEW.
I'm tougher on the kids I love.
Yeah, that's true. I pay for AEW. That's the difference.
I don't have any kids, but I'm tougher on the ones that I love.
I pay for a service, $8 a month so that I can watch Collision and Rampage. I pay for their pay-per-views.
You're going live?
I'm going live to shows. I go every year at least to one. I go to the shows here. I didn't pay for last week, but I would have. It's just they offered me free tickets, so I took them.
No, Paul, you should simp for AEW is what you should do.
Yeah, like,
that's the proper thing to do.
Like some people do for WWE. All right.
Stand up for AEW, Paul. Come on.
All right.
Get on a knee and hold
it. I have a feeling this show might not be as long as some of our shows usually are. I didn't take as many notes, but we may have a lot to say.
Good.
I don't know.
Let's get out of here then.
All right. So we'll start with my first pet peeve. The show opens with some random girl interviewing Edge. I have no idea who this woman is.
Okay, no. Now, I've heard this on two different shows, and they've actually introduced her a few times, but they should introduce her every time. This was, I don't know.
When you say they've introduced her a few times, I don't think she's ever been on Dynamite.
That might be a good point.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I've seen her.
This is the upgrade from the Dashabot.
I wouldn't say it's an upgrade.
I'm not saying that either, but maybe Tony has a point.
I've seen her on Ring of Honor. I've seen her on Collision. I think I've even seen her on Rampage. I have no idea what her name is. I think it's is it Arcady?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how it's spelled. I mean,
Aubrey,
I guess it doesn't matter.
Or something like that. Yeah,
I guess it doesn't Aubrey matter, but like not once have they ever put a graphic up that said, you know, like Arcady, whatever. I guess maybe it doesn't matter. But Edge didn't refer to her by name. The announcers didn't tell us who she was or say thank you, Arcady, or whatever after. They just moved on. So he's annoyed about something. I'm not exactly sure what. But
she will be called Arcady Aura, I believe. Real name
Arcady Aura.
Real name Arcady Unterleidner.
Arcady Unterleidner sounds like an NXT.
She was
name.
Associated with SoCal Pro Wrestling and the Crash Lucha Libre.
Okay, wow, good for her. So he's been talking to Tony Khan. He was on the phone before the interview, actually, coming down the hall. And Tony Khan made the match tonight a no DQ match with Brody King, the TNT title match. So Adam apparently asked for a no DQ match because last week he went nuts after the match. And they came in and I'm not exactly sure why he wanted a no DQ match.
Exactly. I don't know this either, and he didn't come off like he wanted to kill Brody King in this interview.
No, and not only that, but he just set up something where Brody could have just had Buddy and Malachi come down and do a 3-on-1, but they didn't.
No.
I guess they're men of...
Code of honor.
Code of honor, yeah.
He's honoring the House of Black.
You're correct, yes. So it's a no DQ match. Thank you, Uncle Tony. And the announcers put over what a great job Tony Khan's doing from Jacksonville. And the Bucks, well, I guess they were there, but we didn't see them yet. And when they did finally show up, it was earlier tonight. So, but they didn't. We got the standard open this week. The open we got last week, the NWO Nitro thing, that was the thing of the past.
Wait, we had them. Didn't we have them coming into the parking lot?
Yeah, but it was earlier tonight.
Yeah, but we had a cameraman in their truck for 30 feet.
Yeah, it's funny because the way they shot it, I thought for sure that Okada wasn't there. Like, I thought they did it in that way to make it seem like Okada was there.
I thought they were going to drive to a different location and beat somebody up.
Oh, no. It was just a sight gag.
I thought it was going to be like Horseman in Westwood or something like, or at the Techwood Studios or something.
Nope. The apparently the arena staff doesn't watch the product because they had a spot reserved for Tony Khan, even though he was put out of action 2 weeks ago in one of the most famous things that went viral all over the world, and every single person in the universe saw it except for the arena staff.
I'm going to take it easy on production assistants. You know, they just have to set up the area for a while. So you have to, they set up the parking spot for them. I have done that for a director.
So we opened with Orange Cassidy and Trent, this bitter blood feud. they had a counter telling us when Swerve and Christian face off was going to be, because everyone just can't wait for that. And they showed Callis showing up for the commercial break, and he sat down in commentary. He was basically putting over Orange Cassidy, trying to get him into the family, which makes zero sense. I have no idea what the hell is going on. Orange Cassidy actually won after cheating to remove a turnbuckle pad. And Don Callis put it over as a great move. And this is after Trent had done the same thing, but then the ref tried to put the turnbuckle back on, and while the ref was distracted, Orange Cassidy cheated to win.
Yes.
And then immediately Trent attacked him after the bell.
Hold on. Number one, not selling that he got dinged by just immediately.
Like you're a winner, and Orange Cassidy, she didn't.
It's a miracle I have recovered from this concussion / whatever, getting hit by a metal thing at high speed. Yes. Yeah. Now continue.
All right. So he pile drives him on the ring steps. He puts him
Hold on. He did what?
He pile drove him on the ring steps.
Really?
Yes.
Was he knocked out from all this? Was he out for 6 months in terms of where we will emotionally miss Orange Cassidy, and he will go to, but he picked up his... did he turn his neck? Was he trained by the Blackpool Combat Club to turn his neck on this pile driver?
Before he even had a chance to recover, Trent Cassidy picked up his dead limp body, dragged it under the ring, catapulted him neck first into the ring frame, which I don't think I've ever seen that.
Hold on. He did what?
He catapulted him under the ring, next to the ring frame.
Pause.
Yes.
So we've already driven his neck into the metal stairs, which is much harder than doing a pile driver in the normal ring.
Correct.
To possibly cripple him. And now we have slingshot him. We have taken his body. And
slingshot,
we have,
that's a better word. Yes.
Brought it up at hyper something speed.
Yeah,
where his neck hits a metal bar into his neck.
Correct.
And so he is knocked out. He is totally incapacitated, correct? Because these are two giant blows to the head right now. This is going to get some emotional resonance, and we are going to be worried for the safety of Orange Cassidy, correct?
They stopped the show for like
to stretcher him
Excalibur out. And Tony had the Owen Hart face, and they were just, I can't believe
that happened, right, Paul?
There was 75 medical
sarcasm.
Personnel.
Play
there
was 75.
They came out with a stretcher. They put on the neck brace. They took him out.
No, he went scrambling for a chair.
Yeah. Oh, he got up right away and grabbed a chair and chased off Trent.
I watched this and I went, Paul, I almost canceled. I did. I almost canceled on this show right
at that
moment.
And then Chris Statlander runs out and she's trying to calm Trent down. Because I guess through all of this, she's still friends with Trent, I think.
And pause. Oh, the pile driver on the steps wasn't enough to get Don Callis upset. No. But once we slingshot him and he goes to grab a chair, now Don Callis must say, well, you know, this hurts my delicate sensibilities as supposedly the main event heel manager in this company.
So the main event heel manager walks off with one of the top pure baby faces
who cheated.
I've ever had. They went through the baby face tunnel. I made note of that. Because I wanted to see, maybe they went through the heel tunnel. Nope, they went through the babyface tunnel.
Well, I've been told that there are no longer these tunnels by you.
Oh, well, I don't think there are. Because then I was watching to see which tunnel Trent and Chris Statlander were going to leave through, but they cut away before we could find out.
This is all an elaborate swerve, probably to get Chris and Trent both in the Callis family.
Maybe. Or maybe the Callis family's turning babyface.
God,
he's sick of Will and Kyle Fletcher losing, so he's sick of Will Hobbs and Kyle Fletcher losing, so he's got Ospreay, he's got
Hobbs is
Orange
on the shelf.
Yeah,
Takeshita's been losing.
Yeah, so get rid of Takeshita.
We're getting rid of all the losers and we're starting new and fresh with Trent,
yeah, Orange
and Chris
Cassidy,
Statlander.
Will Ospreay, Chris Statlander.
Oh.
Maybe we can get Daniel Garcia.
Oh God.
He put over that kid. So yeah, this was baffling. And by the end of the night, it was not even close to the most baffling thing on the show.
No, yeah. but it was an auspicious start for the show. Let's put it that way.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to JD Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. So next we get the segment with the Bucks, and one of the things they said was that how much they hate Canada, and they stole Tony Khan's parking spot. That was the whole point of this,
right?
They were calling people marks left, right, and center. Then we got a Kenny video package. They recapped his promo from last week, and we didn't get the Kenny thing. This was just a recap, but we did get a taped interview with Jack Perry. And honestly, this was one of the better things on the show.
I thought this was quite good.
Yeah,
because
Kenny. This actually was a mission statement that tried to make some sense of everything they're doing.
He has bought all into the Change the World thing, which is nice. Yeah. He's not doing it ironically. Mm-mm. He's a true believer in this ethos.
Yeah.
The other thing he did that was really good for a guy who stinks at promos usually, and I don't mean that.
I know.
Derivatively, but there is that thing that actors who are nervous do when you're doing on camera work, and usually in straight acting you don't look at the camera. That's fine, but if you're a wrestler, you should be looking at the camera lens. But there's a lot of guys who are afraid to look at it, so they'll be playing with their hair and putting up and turning their head and doing something and shaking something off as if they're creating some sort of, you know, action or something like that, as opposed to because they're so nervous about doing the promo type of a thing. I thought he was cool, calm, and collected and talked right into the camera, and it was pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he basically said Kenny's not a hero. He's a coward. The elite doesn't need him. AEW doesn't either. And we're going to change the world without you. That was basically the gist of his promo.
Straight and, up there, man. Yeah. Another thing, mission statement. That's a perfect way to put it.
Another thing he does, which I don't know if he did it here, but he did it last week. He's got that little shit-eating grin that he does right after he does something nasty. He's nailed that. And it's really good. It's getting him over. The people actually hate him, and it's actually good heat. It's not go away heat. It's we want to see people beat you up heat.
The smirk kind of bugs me because I mean, as I was talking last week, I really kind of want him to be an out of control psychopath.
I'm not sure if he's got that in him.
I don't think he does.
Yeah.
But this leans more towards the Bucks, and that worries me a little bit. Just a little bit.
See it's a little bit of Dominic Mysterio.
Okay.
Like what he's doing. Actually, people compare this group to the NWO. I compare them to Judgment Day.
Huh.
Kind of when they got rid of Edge and, just starting to kind of take over Raw. Like the whole like purpose and everything is not the same, but just kind of the role that they have and the different roles of the different people in the group.
It's not an apples to apples comparison, but let's move on.
All right. Then we got the interview with Kenny from the hospital bed. He's still in the ER, hooked up to IVs. And this is not unrealistic because Canadian healthcare sucks. You can be in the ER for months. He has business to take care of as an EVP. So May 26th is the 5-year anniversary.
Hold on. He's an executive vice president. He's an employee of AEW. He could get American healthcare.
Not in Canada.
He should have an insurance plan through his employer.
Not in Canada.
In the United States.
Not in Canada. I mean, unless they're going to transport him to the U.S. and maybe, I mean, they probably in real life, they probably would have. But yeah. If he's still in Canada, this is not unrealistic.
Take
Let me just
your
say that.
Socialized medicine and
my aunt is rich and really? And she had an issue and it was going to take her 9 months to get an operation here. And people said she could lose her leg if she waited that long. It's possible. And so she got in the car and drove straight to Rochester and paid for it herself. And she got her operation right away. And she's fine now. This is 20 years later. The institute, whatever it's called.
Eastman Institute or what?
No. It's something else. It doesn't matter.
In Rochester?
Yeah.
I don't know Rochester that well.
Oh, okay. Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh, Rochester, Minnesota. Okay. Oh, yeah. The Mayo Clinic.
The Mayo Clinic. That's it. Thank you.
I thought you were talking Rochester, New York.
No. So anyways, 5-year anniversary, Anarchy in the Arena, Bucks, Okada, and Perry versus, and I cringed when he said it, Team AEW.
Oh, God.
Yeah. People fighting for a billionaire, such a babyface cause. Anyways, FTR, two of them, they're the greatest tag team of all time. And he says, I don't really do this matchmaking thing, but I'm sure that another two people will reveal themselves later tonight, sooner than you might think. So that was the tease for the main event for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put on Twitter, that I had some suggestions, and I think actually Danielson might have been one of them. I'd have to go back. But I had people convinced it was going to be the Motor City Machine Guns. I'm like, that makes like no sense.
I don't like this because this reeks of a War Games angle with Team WCW versus Team NWO.
Yes. Yes.
And I would have rather and I thought the original plan for that was better than should have been the blueprint for the thing of this. You have the Horsemen, which is synonymous with WCW, fighting Team NWO, and they fall to Team NWO.
Should have been BCC.
And that's what I'm getting to. That's quite all right. But okay. Yes, this should have been the Blackpool Combat Club stepping up to take on these guys and eventually falling to these guys. And then that would set up for later when Kenny can come back. He organizes a quote unquote Team AEW to fight in blood and guts.
Yeah.
And if the elite lose, they have to disband or whatever.
So this reminds me of something else. that in this conversation I had with my friend, because we went out for supper yesterday, and where are all these stars? Like these people that are we're the best wrestle, AEW. I mean, Moxley has been on the show once, I think, in the last 2 months. And Mercedes shows up sometimes. There's no way she was there tonight. That thing was taped somewhere else. Danielson was back in the main event segment, so that was cool. Wheeler has not been around anywhere.
No.
He's injured, but they don't tell us.
They have a very liberal time off policy at AEW.
Yes. I mean, and when I bring this up, and of course I make the mistake of bringing it up in
company it up in Twitter.
No, Twitter or our Discord.
Our Discord, don't bring it up there either.
No, because then they're injured and Moxley's the New Japan champion and this and that. I don't care.
Can I interest Moxley's you in New bringing Japan it up champion. In the Voices of Wrestling Discord? Because, boy, they would have fun with you.
I am watching AEW Dynamite. I don't care that Jon Moxley is the NJPW champ. He's got a job to do in AEW. Like, he should be here every week entertaining me.
Let the Bears pay the bear tax.
Yes.
I pay the Homer tax.
Yes.
I agree.
Yes. And Danielson is injured. Oh, why did they tell us? Where's Will Ospreay?
he is currently in the UK enjoying his birthday and his child.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to come to Canada, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my friend Preet Paul, God bless him, he's so convinced that he's getting a Will Ospreay match on Saturday on Collision. There's no way.
No,
there's no chance.
There's no way.
No. I mean, he's getting Danielson.
He's getting Danielson, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but
we have Danielson. He'll be on AEW. We have no guarantee that he's doing a match.
So Matt in the
Matt
Discord
has
today,
turned on AEW, kids.
In the Discord today, before the show started, he posts, this lineup is, what did he call it?
Insane?
No. He called it ass, maybe?
What?
Yeah.
Matt?
And he said,
darling Matthew?
This is going to be the first time that I don't come home from work early to watch the first hour.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit disheartened because I do like optimism.
And then he made a point of somebody else. Remember Brad that used to watch us, but I think he doesn't anymore because we're too negative on this show.
Is this Brad? All Brad? Brad, right?
Yeah.
Are we going to see him? We'll have to talk to him at Double or Nothing.
I don't know if he goes to Double or Nothing, but I hope he does. Okay. I like Brad. But so Matt made the point. He says nobody actually likes AEW's booking. They just like the matches and the wrestlers. And then Brad is like, I like AEW booking.
My God, what is going on with our Discord?
I don't know. No, they're churning on AEW.
And if you'd like to join the Discord, please write to Garrett.
Yeah, we need
gg@fightgamemedia.com.
Stand up for AEW hashtag.
Because we don't want to make the same mistake AEW does and not tell you where you can go to have these types of discussions.
I am avoiding the next segment like a plague in case
is it? Remind me.
Serena Deeb.
Oof. Okay.
And it's not her fault.
I strongly concur with that.
Okay.
And I strongly agree with that. I this is a combination of three different things that were bad, and I can only remember two of them, so I'll try and get to the third one that I can.
Well, one of them is, did we not just see a babyface turn from Toni Storm last week?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Well, thank you, because that's that's going on my list, because and also Serena Deeb has never been pushed as a babyface in the last few months.
Not that I'm aware of. In the only way she's a babyface is the last promo she did, if you accept the fact that Toni Storm is a heel, which she's not, then that was a babyface promo that she did.
You're
going to
have Serena Deeb come out and be babyface against the hot lesbians making out? What are we doing?
She comes out and she tells this heartwarming story about how she overcame seizures. First, she starts off by saying, apparently there's a narrative going around that Serena Deeb can't beat Toni Storm. What is she talking about?
I would like
narrative?
To know who is saying these things.
I mean, put it, okay. Serena Deeb's not beating Toni Storm. Like, okay, but it's not like nobody thinks she can't. It's nobody thinks she will, because nobody thinks that they're going to book her to do it. If that's what she's saying, that's a that's a totally different
thing. You know,
thing.
I came out of my kayfabe world, and I was looking at the internet, and they said that I don't have a shot against them. But yes, she starts, and then she goes into the seizures. Yes. Let's go, Oilers, clap, clap,
right,
clap,
okay.
clap, clap.
Matt, I totally agree. Her promo was awesome. The problem is the fans' reaction to it.
Because the fans don't know she's a babyface. Because
she's not.
Well, because they've positioned her against somebody that they haven't quite said is a babyface and isn't quite a heel.
Except, okay, but she comes out here and she is a 100% heel.
Okay, not only that, Deeb gets the main event swear word.
No, because then Tony took it right away.
Well, but yes, but look, just go with me here, Paul. For God's sakes, do some improv and yes, Andy, for a little bit here.
Okay, sorry.
She gets the main event swear word. If you think I give a shit, ooh, okay, it's on. Here comes the drama. Here comes the thing. She's told her heartwarming story, and now she's emotionally pivoted to the fight.
Okay,
and I'm going to fight for this title. Okay.
Can I stop you for a second? Yes. What happens every time somebody uses the main event swear word? What do the fans do when the main event swear word gets used? What did they do here?
Let's go, Oilers.
And they booed her.
Oh, they booed her? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear the boos.
They booed.
But within the promo, she's doing well. And it's obviously something that's out of her comfort zone. This is a Jen Pepperman promo. To me, this screams. This was a WWE style promo that they had written out and scripted. And she's remembering her lines. She's not struggling. She's fairly comfortable, which is unusual for Serena Deeb in a promo situation. I'll put it that way.
If this was backstage, it would have been great.
I think she's doing okay. Yes, if this was in a quiet place where she can't get thrown by the crowd and it's just her and the camera and the microphone, this thing would get over like gangbusters, possibly. But the fact is, we haven't established her as a white meat, let's go get them babyface, except in this match against Mariah May last week.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody likes Mariah May and the Club Venus, Mira Shirakawa girl, and love Toni Storm. But yes, you are exactly correct. She gives this emotional pivot, and then Toni Storm goes, "I don't give a crap that you had a stroke."
She said, "I don't give one solitary shit."
I don't give a single solitary shit. Well, thanks a lot. That was a great way. That is the. That is the equivalent of doing you start.
And the fans cheered that line, by the way.
You start a scene, and you're doing such emotional, you're invested in the work, and you're doing this. And then your chuckle hut buddy comes out and goes, "I don't care, I'm eating some peanut butter. Ooh, look at me." You know, and you're just like, what the
And the fans cheered her when she said that.
It was a total denial of everything that she put out there, man. I could not believe that.
Fans chanted Tony. Tony tried to slap her. Deeb intercepts the slap, slaps her, lays her out. The fans booed. Oh my God, what the hell? And that was it.
I don't know, man. And again, we dressed up Serena Deeb to be classy as opposed to just, she's the professor in the dojo. Let her be the professor in the dojo and come out and be the serious wrestler and say all these things.
You know what? They could have done this promo, and they could have done it with music behind, showing footage of her training.
This could have been a video package. I agree.
Yeah, yes. Like the Smojo thing. And showed Smojo how hard she's worked to get back and everything. And then you have Tony do her little comedy thing. "I don't give a single solitary shit about what you've been through." You know, whatever. If you want to do the comedy, and I wouldn't do it.
Actually, you could also then pre-tape a black and white response.
Yes. Yeah. And she says, "I don't care about your problem."
Yes.
You know, you've got something to like take that. This, and nobody's taking this title from me.
Yes.
You harlot.
My precious, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Strumpet,
whatever you want to call her. Yes, I get it.
But instead, they tried to recreate the Mercedes Willow thing.
Yes.
Next, we went to Lexi backstage with Orange Cassidy, and she's asking him how he's doing. He's rubbing
arm.
His neck.
Al Cervic from Caddyshack level.
So Rocky interrupts to check on him before he can say anything. he just talked to Tony Khan. And
this guy's a moron, and I just was waiting for Orange Cassidy to call him a moron.
If he beats Jay White, then me and a partner get a trios title shot. How about we mend fences with Trent?
How about, yes. You know the guy who just power drive you on the steps and tried to take your throat out?
Orange Cassidy looks at him. Hold on,
Paul. Paul, I think we can make this work. I think this is, look, all we need is a little bit of counseling here and a little, just talk this out.
Oh my God.
I was waiting for Orange to take off the glasses and just have a long bleep segment
he looked at him like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yes. And I was waiting for that. And then he went, what?
And I was like, and Rocky's just like, we're best friends. Bye, guys. Did you watch
Ali? If I was Orange Cassidy, I would have throttled him, I think.
Did you ever watch Ally McBeal?
I did, yes.
So it's Richard Fish. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Fishism.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was something else. I don't know. Then at some point I noticed, I'm not sure, I think it was during the Deeb interview, Callis went back to commentary. So
yes.
He's happy that Tony Khan's running things from Jacksonville and everything's clicking. And then we get Mariah May and Harley Cameron. And
this is my match of the night. I don't know what you all were watching.
I gotta say, I mean, this wasn't any good, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
I thought this was perfectly cromulent. Look,
2.25 stars.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Because all these people who love work rate and stuff like that were telling me, because I hadn't seen Harley Cameron, but they're like, man, this is Maxine Dupree levels of bad here. And she's friggin' Monami Toyota compared to Maxine Dupree. She has great flexibility, and she uses her legs as weapons really, really well. Like almost, it's not Dakota Kai level on any
Carmen
that's
Petrovich.
What she reminds me of a little bit. I mean, look, she would be a higher end NXT person.
Yeah,
to me, she knows how to do basic run through spots and things like that. She doesn't get lost.
This was probably the perfect opponent for her too. They probably run matches, like hundreds of times, I would think. They're best friends, I think.
I did not enjoy this. And look, I will welcome both into my hardcore women's AEW stable if they'd like, of attractive women doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Like, my choice for the two people to join FTR was Anna Jay and Tay Mello, because we need hardcore warriors.
FTR or BCC?
No, it was just... Never mind. It was a joke. Okay. Well, let's just continue.
Matt says, I like Soraya's energy outside the ring. Could be a decent manager. She learned to pull the leg and other tricks. I agree.
She draws a little bit too much focus for my liking, but I agree on the most part.
When she, it was during when they were doing the Riot Squad thing with Tony and Ruby, she was basically the manager in that group, and she used to do stuff that was great.
I laughed a little at Harley's entrance because she overspun on the spin.
Oh, and I skipped it.
And I was very worried about it. I was like, this is how we're going to start. But no, this was inoffensive. It had some heat. It had decent. Harley actually looked like she was trying to hurt Mariah May for a while. She was actually, some of the theatrics were believable in the state of professional wrestling in terms of those two getting that. I had no problem with this match whatsoever.
They actually went through a break. So if you told
me ahead
of time,
Harley to get better gear, because the girls are going to fall out eventually. And it looked like she was having trouble. At one point,
I'd like her to keep the gear she has, to be honest.
Paul, I'm more interested in athleticism than, you know,
you're
the
better
internet
man than
the
I am.
Internet has pictures, so you can do whatever you want.
Not of Harley. All right.
Move on. Go.
Yeah. So again, after the match, we got another 2-on-1 attack. Soraya and Harley, and then Mina
another
Shikara,
attack. You say that's
yes.
What, four for this show? If you include the
no,
Kenny,
just two. Just
well,
two.
If
We've
you include
only
the
two.
Kenny.
Oh yeah, if you include the Kenny video package. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Mina Shirakawa made the save. They drank champagne. They hugged. Didn't make out this time.
They threatened a kiss, and then they didn't give it.
They cut,
which is a heel move.
Yeah. So maybe they are heels.
Who knows?
The New Girl interviewed Pac, kind of. She asked him if the Death Triangle is going to be back in action. He started to answer, but then Jay White and the gun showed up, said no one cares about Pac.
Did he start to answer? Because he was standing there catatonic.
He was morose.
He was, yeah. He just stands in the hallway, sulking. Yeah. At
he
all
didn't
times.
Even look right. Like
no,
yeah, he
looked
just
like
looked
he had lost. I mean, no offense, Pac is a genetic and athletic freak of nature.
I noticed this too.
I thought he'd eaten some carbs. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
although the best part of this wasn't
he's on the
Sheamus
diet.
It was younger Gunn doing the Scottish accent, or the older Gunn doing a Scottish accent. That was Scottish. Yes.
Welsh. Yeah, he's Scottish. I'm not sure, actually.
See, Welsh or Scottish? I can't remember. I'm sorry, and I apologize.
Might be
to
Welsh.
UK fans.
Might be Welsh.
No, but you know, it's like okay, Jay White is being Jay White. Great.
He said he might go after Okada's Continental title. Told Pac to watch. I came away from this thinking that we're probably getting Jay White and the Guns against Death Triangle at the pay per view, and I'm cool with that. And the angle they did after the match led me even more to believe that. So hopefully that's what we get.
Yes.
Except Ray Phoenix is injured again, isn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Just put Commander in there and tell us it's Ray.
In the Phoenix mask.
We'll yeah, there you go.
Talk about.
Yeah. All right. We got a spooky promo from Malakai Black. Showed a lot of footage of Edge, said he's been a dad and a husband, but that's all a facade. He's really a vile, cold-hearted, evil SOB, and I'm going to bring him to the brink of death so he can live again. Whatever.
I don't think he's going to bring him to the brink of death. Is there any chance in hell that Malakai Black actually does lays down for the 1-2-3, or is he going to do it doesn't work for
I don't
boss?
Know. Is this basically just the stuff that Copeland and him wanted to do in WWE, and now they're actually getting a chance to do it?
No, this is the stuff Black wanted to do in WWE. I don't know if this is the stuff Copeland wanted to do.
Well, you saw Judgment Day.
Copeland, that's actually true. Never mind.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. All right, we got a video package from the Bucks where they're basically portrayed as babyface. It was kind of great, actually. They keep trying to change the world, but they get thwarted. And cut to them at the headset, and they said they're going to address Kenny's statement in the ring later tonight. And then they wish Swerve luck in his promo.
This wouldn't be bad if you didn't have another disingenuous babyface on the roster who's doing a gimmick about a learning tree.
Yeah, okay. That's a good point. Didn't even think about that. But I like this, and I didn't like Jericho, so maybe I'm a hypocrite.
I'm actually starting to like Jericho.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Well,
you know what?
It's not. I'm not quite there yet, but I mean, he never breaks the character.
No,
which is fantastic.
You know what it is? It's bugging me. I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh, this is kind of nope. Oh, I kind of like nope.
No, I do the same thing, but I don't like the number of disingenuous baby faces in terms of villains here, and I'd much rather the Bucks not act like they're doing us a favor, but rather acting like something was wrong in the approach for the last 5 years.
Actually, there's not two. There's actually four, because now Big Bill's doing it.
Well, I mean, let's count
Big Bill doing it is hilarious.
Yes, okay.
He's stopping in the middle of the moves and waving at the fans. And the funny thing is, the fans are totally into Big Bill, you know, because he's a big, jacked up dude that chokeslams people. What's not to love? So we got, we didn't get that match yet. What is this? Oh, Swerve. Right. Swerve comes out. Nobody cares. He's pissed off. He wants a fight. Called himself the Connor McDavid of AEW. And, of course, that gets the fans to chant, let's go Oilers.
Has Connor McDavid won anything? No. Continue.
No.
Thank you.
Well, a bunch of scoring titles.
Whoop-de-doo.
He's like the best belt machine. they might win the cup this year, honestly. They dispatch your Kings pretty handily. So he called out Christian.
Canadians will never win the cup again. So let's
probably not. But if the Oilers win, I win like $5,500.
Oh, there you go. So,
yeah. Canucks are going to stomp the Oilers out in a couple hours. No more championships for Edmonton. So then this gets the fans chanting, let's go Oilers, so loud. And I think he wanted that so he could get in his, you know, be quiet while I conduct my business, but they didn't stop. And so he just barreled through and he says, I'm going to take something from you every week till I get what I want. And when you lose your title, you can see gold anytime you want just by looking in the mirror and seeing those stupid gold teeth. And then Swerve grabs a mic and he says, I told you I wasn't going to be alone. And then the fans all pop as the Mogul Embassy come in the ring and conveniently all get behind Swerve. He's got his back to them. And everyone with a brain knows what's coming next. And Swerve is acting all, or Christian's acting all scared. And he says, I'm going to beat your ass like Kendrick Lamar did to Drake this week. Drake, you say, who's Canadian. Mm-hmm. They were in Canada. Fans didn't like that line. Swerve's a baby face.
Fans
and then he tries to save it by saying, a Toronto wannabe father punked out by someone on the West Coast. You know, like Edmonton's the West Coast.
Yeah.
Which it's not.
Well, I think that got over with the kids, maybe. Who knows?
I think Drake's pretty popular in Canada.
Okay.
And then he said something. I was kind of losing interest in this promo, but did they make it an I Quit match?
No, he referred to Christian quitting in the I Quit match versus Copeland to be like kind of like the reminding of Tully Blanchard, how he quit against Magnum.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's not an I Quit match, just a match.
Correct. It was, okay. He was just reminding him that he's a quitter.
Okay. Yeah, I was really losing interest in this. But Brian Cage attacks Swerve, and then the other two guys joined in. I wrote down Swerve's a moron. Christian, so the announcers are saying that this was like a deal, but Christian almost was playing it like he didn't know it was coming. And he didn't join in on it, but he's just like cheering it on. So he's just watching this happen. And I should point out, Luchasaurus and Nick Wayne and Shane are there. They might as well have had wax dummies for all they did. They did nothing, like not nothing. They didn't say anything. They didn't show any emotion. They didn't stop, like nothing. I don't even know why they were there.
I'm going to try and make it make sense after you get through all of it.
Okay.
When he left.
They put Swerve through. This did get heat. The crowd was, like they were booing. And then it ends with Swerve getting put through the announce table and laid out. And then they showed the Bucks backstage cheering. And then Christian showed up and he said, pleasure doing business with you. And that was that. So it was the Bucks' idea, apparently, to go after Swerve.
Yeah. Yes. Herein lies the problem with this feud. And I am going to bring up my background. I know this drives people nuts because I get made fun of it in various discords and stuff like that. It's one of those things where you have a scene with two people. And you're trying to establish a connection between those two people. And then a bunch of people walk onto that stage. You then have to establish connections with all these other people. And it takes away from the fact that two people are trying to form a connection here. There is no connection between Swerve and Christian in this feud. The heat is now all on the Mogul Embassy and the Young Bucks for your championship match coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, not only, I mean, they tried last week.
Well, they started it, but they should have just kept going with it and continuing to make it personal as opposed to, well, now we're probably gonna have a match between Swerve and Brian Cage next week.
Yeah.
Why? So that we can have a match with Swerve and Brian Cage, and then we're gonna ask where do Nana's allegiances lie?
And you know what else we're gonna probably get is the Bucks are gonna force Swerve and Christian to team up against the Gates of Agony.
That could happen too. Hey guys, we thought we'd make a very special match for you all and do a tag team match between the two people in the main event world title match. It's going to be Swerve and Christian Cage versus the Gates of Agony, just like they did with Joe and Swerve.
Yep. And just like they always used to do in WWE.
Yes.
Yeah.
So all the heat in this angle is now on the Bucks.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. And we still need to establish really some heat between these two. We're probably going to be bringing in Keith Lee in some way as an equalizer, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
Have 20 different characters involved in this thing for a two-person match. And it wouldn't be so bad if we were 2 months out and because this could all play out.
Yeah.
But instead, we're going to do 6 months of what would be considered traditional booking by old people like myself in 2 weeks to try and get to a point where anybody wants to watch Christian and think he has any shot whatsoever at Swerve, which nobody does right now.
And I guess the point of this is probably that this gives Swerve something to do after the pay-per-view, because now he'll be feuding with Mogul Embassy for a while.
Yes, I guess. But
and is there any anyone on earth that there's no one on earth that thinks Christian's beaten Swerve.
No.
And there's no chance this is main eventing the pay-per-view.
It may just go on last, but it's not the main event of the pay-per-view.
I don't think it's even going on last.
I think they're going to put it on last. They
if
might.
It does,
well,
it's
no,
just
can't,
because...
No, you can't follow Anarchy in the Arena.
And they don't... Like, if they did, it would just be that we don't want to do Swerve dirty. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah. And
but they should have
like,
thought about that earlier when they started doing all this convoluted crap.
Yep. I mean, honestly, it would have made more sense. As much as I don't like the match, it would have made more sense to have Jack Perry do it.
I don't mind the match. The match on paper, you told me Christian's coming in because the Young Bucks have decided to screw Swerve a little bit, and now we're going to build this feud. Because what this should be is every week Christian coming out and telling you how much he deserves this title shot.
Yes. Yeah, when he actually doesn't.
Right.
But yeah. That's, I'm undefeated other than, you know, like, nobody's ever pinned me in AEW.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Well, they made you quit. Doesn't count as a pin.
Nah.
So listen to me, stupid. You know,
whatever. I was under duress.
And let Christian build this feud with his mouth. Instead, we're getting the Mogul friggin' Embassy.
Yeah, and they waited until Winnipeg to announce this so that they could do a cute line where they teased it for 5 seconds that it was going to be Kenny Omega in Winnipeg.
Yes.
Yeah. New Girl is with Willow. She asked her how she feels. She says, "I don't feel great, but I got a shiner." And she asked her if you're ready for a Double or Nothing. She said, "This is just another stop in being a champion." And then she said her name, Arcady. I was like, thank you. You're the first person to identify this woman. And
they didn't put a graphic up.
Not once did they put a graphic up. But Willow called her by name. So now I know her name. She said, I beat you the last time. She said, and since then, I've won the strong title, the Owen, and now this. And she said, and in this professional wrestling match coming up at Double or Nothing in Las Vegas on May 26th, I'm going to be the winner, and you better be ready. It's a great promo. It's the best thing on the show so far. Maybe actually altogether. I can't think of anything better that came after. Oh, the Joe promo.
The Joe promo was fantastic.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, this was right up there too.
No,
Joe and Willow should be a couple. Not romantic, just put them together. Like those two would be magic, but they're also great separately. So next we got Jay White and Rocky Romero. Before the match started, I wrote down, good match, lots of great near falls for Rocky. Jay White cheated and hit a Blade Runner to win. That's exactly what happened.
And we got 20 minutes of how great Rocky is. Man, Rocky's a great wrestler. Man, Rocky has a lot of heart. Man, Rocky can really go. Man, Rocky this, Rocky. Jay White pins him. Let's get rid of this loser.
And the funny thing is, you said it was 20 minutes. It was actually 8 minutes.
If we're setting up a six-man match, why isn't... Never mind.
Setting up a six-man match that has nothing
for
to
somebody
do with the
that,
so
that has nothing to do with the match in there. Yes. Why don't we have Pac going up against one of the ass boys and just set up the six-man?
Yes. Just a destruction.
Yes.
But yeah, it was a fine wrestling match, and we all knew what was going to happen, and it did. So that was that. And then I wrote down no post-match attack with an exclamation mark, and as soon as I finish that sentence, the guns attacked, and it was 3-on-1.
Right. I kind of did something similar during the Copeland match, but continue.
Pac ran out to make the save, and I assumed it's going to be, you know, the Bullet Club Gold, I guess the Bang Bang Gang, against Death Triangle.
Now,
but then I forgot about Ray Phoenix. So
up
I don't
until
know.
This point, it is literally Brian Alvarez for 2019 WWE Heat.
And heat.
That's what I had in the back of my head as I'm watching this. But yeah,
I tweeted that out. I said I'm watching 2018-19 WWE.
Yeah, like, I just thought I just remember Alvarez's reviews of the shows. And like, another Heat segment, more Heat.
We got an answer about Orange Cassidy, by the way, about how he recovered so quick. Yeah, at Corey R503 on X. His Twitter name is C-O-R-Y, said, in canon, Orange Cassidy is actually an orange, and oranges have no necks, and that's why he's impervious to the pile driver. Better story than they told. Should I continue?
I'm not selling this thing.
I love that. We got the Samoa Joe video package next.
Then I want to see orange juice come out of his pores.
Oh, what, you want to see the mimosa mud bath again?
Yes, I do.
Samoa Joe video package, it was footage of him training. He's not what men fear. He is that fear or something. I don't know what he said, but it was awesome.
Should have been shown the week after he won the title, and then we'd be off to the races.
I don't know what they're doing with Joe, but last week he got a squash match, and this week he had an awesome video package. I thought
they were possibly building him to be one of the guys to go up in this Anarchy in the Arena match.
That might have been better than what they did, honestly.
I concur, but let's continue.
I wrote on X four words that are guaranteed to produce a great segment in AEW: Samoa Joe video package.
Yes.
End of story.
My That's favorite guaranteed. Thing on this show. Love
it. Yeah, it was awesome. Then we got Mo Jabari and Harlem Abbott against the Learning Tree.
Chris Get Jericho. An old fashioned squash match from Chris Jericho.
An old-fashioned squash match that feels like it went 20 minutes.
That also felt like it went 20 minutes because, you know, they're local guys. Let's give them a little shine in their hometown.
Yeah. Harlem Abbott got a huge pop when he tagged in.
Mo Jabari I've seen before.
They put in a little bit of time because they wanted to get over Callis and talking about Jericho.
Oh, I know where I saw him.
He said he's a scumbag, but he's learned a lot from him over the years.
Mo Jabari once lost to Omos in a 2-on-1 match. And he was also
Was it with that clown guy? Mike the Clown or whatever?
I think so. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Then he also did something for a lead up to I forgot what. He did enhancement on a dark AEW dark
probably whenever they go to Edmonton.
Yeah, probably.
And he said he's a scumbag, but he's greatest of all time. Big Bill chokeslammed both jobbers, then he tagged in Jericho, and Jericho hit the local guy Harlem with a Judas effect and got the win. And the whole time they were waving to the fans and smiling and cheering. And then Jericho grabs the mic.
Cheering back at him, which is fantastic because this is so stupid because it's like they're wanting to get booze and they're failing in their goal in Canada.
They're trying. Well, I mean, they're trying to get this Learning Tree chant going, but then it gets stopped right away. And he says, "I'm pleased to be back in Calgary. Oh, damn it. I wish Edmonton." And then, like, he did the exact same thing last time when he was actually a heel.
Yes.
And the fans chant, "You fucked up," at him. And he said, "I deserve that. I'm sorry." And he said, a lot of people are probably saying, "Why is Jericho out here having another match?" Which is what everyone is saying. And he says, "I'd be out here every week for 2 hours if I could." He said, "But I can only do one match." Yeah. He says, "I want to thank Big Bill." He says, "You're learning." He says, "Great. I want to thank Shibata for the great match we had last week. It was the highest rated match on Cage Match. We did 79 chops." He laughed. And he said, "It's all water under the bridge." And he said, "I want to thank Hook." He said, "Even though he hit himself in the face with a baseball bat, he take as much time as you need, as you want to learn." And then Tony Schiavone gets in the ring. And I noted, it looked like he had a comb over. But he said, "I got news from Tony Khan. I'm on a text chain with him and Kenny Omega." I think, is this where he talked about the text chain? I don't know. No, that was later on with, okay.
No, it was.
Okay. And he said, "But Hook is back next Wednesday." And this gets a mixed reaction from the fans. And then Chris Jericho says, "I'm happy to see Hook. We're all going to celebrate." And he, "Thank you, everybody." And he waves, and Big Bill waves. And
yeah, he said something about, "I'm happy he's gotten well soon," or whatever. I thought there should have been probably a different reaction from him that he's going to be back next week.
Well, I guess he's happy.
Yeah, I guess he's not giving up the bit. So,
or Hook's going to come in, and Jericho's going to think, "Oh, you finally come back. You're going to learn from the Learning Tree," and he's going to get popped. Probably, right?
Or Hook's going to join.
Or he's going to join.
Turn this into TNA real quick.
Oh, man. It's a swerve, bro. Yeah.
Bro. So
So that was that.
Mike Johnson reports that Vince Russo is writing stories for AEW.
Oh, my God.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big this summer with great deals, all in the Kroger app.
Get select varieties of Powerade or Body Armor Super Drinks for 79 cents each. Then get a 2-pound package of strawberries for $2.99 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Next we got Adam Copeland versus Brody King, and there was like a half hour left in the show, and it was occurring to me that this is like, we're just getting SmackDown from like 2-3 years ago, right? Like that's what this is. Like it's Edge wrestling a 20-minute match that, you know, like he's gonna kill himself in front of, you know, 700,000 people on TNT. Okay, God bless him. That's what he
Ron
wants to
Burgundy
do.
Ron Burgundy gif here from me. That escalated quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a brawl. It was a banger. Brody was busted open, bleeding like a stuck pig. They went through two commercial breaks. They got a This Is Awesome chant. Copeland gave Brody a Death Valley driver on the apron. Then he speared him off the apron through a table, threw him back in the ring, hit him with a spear, and got the win. So big Brody, big jobber, lost again. And Copeland is...
Oh, we missed something.
What did we miss?
The Mercedes promo.
Nope, it's still to come.
Oh, it's after
this
that?
Show would not end. Okay. Like this is because I messaged
it's
you.
Like the third Lord of the Rings where we had.
I
like
messaged
six
you
endings.
And I was like, I'm thinking in my when does this show end? Like I finished the match. We had promos. We had backstage.
Okay, you're correct. I thought the Young Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. They had this match and then after the match, it looked like Copeland was going to give Brody some respect, but nope, Brody attacked him. So we had five matches on this show. One of them was a squash, but the other four all ended with heel beatdowns after
heel
the match.
Heel beatdown after this, but.
And then we also had a promo segment.
Somebody finally had a friend, kind of.
Well, Tony, Mariah did too.
Kyle O'Reilly comes out to make
Kyle O'Reilly made the save. And then I thought, okay, we're going to get Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly against Brody King and Buddy Matthews on Collision. That makes sense. That's not what we got, which we'd find out in a minute. But so he made the save and that was that. And Kyle O'Reilly had been talking. Was it last week he did a promo and he's going to have a big match in Toronto? Or in Vancouver.
His hometown. He'd like to have a big match in his hometown.
Yeah.
Eyes up here, Kyle. Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be Okada, but it's going to be Edge, as we'd find out. But first, the new girl was with Mercedes backstage. I don't think they were in Edmonton. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm not sure where they taped this, but it wasn't Edmonton. There's no way they flew Mercedes out here for this. Do you think they were there? They had the same background that they have for ROH.
No, because she didn't show. I mean, why would she show up and then not show her in front of the crowd?
Yes. Yeah. This was taped somewhere else. And they also did not have, I don't think the crowd saw this either because they weren't reacting to anything. But she asked her, are you ready to face Willow? So I actually wrote down more for this than I think I wrote for anything
on
this show.
Please read this promo.
Sure. I'm 18 days away from my in-ring debut. I'm so excited because here in AEW is where the best wrestle, and I thrive in that spotlight, and I'm just getting started. Tomorrow, I'm going to be sitting courtside at the Celtics playoff and then throwing out the first pitch for the Boston Red Sox. And this is where I wrote down, there's no way they flew her to Edmonton for all this. And then they said, so while I'm busy promoting AEW and do this, I've got a match to prepare for, but I got to talk about Willow. She took time away from me, and all I could think about was why. Why did this happen? Will I return? Will I be as good as I used to be? You're damn right I will be. I'm on a whole new level. I am that bitch. Willow had the run of her career because of me. I'm going to show Willow why there's an asterisk beside your victory, and I'm going to wipe that stupid smile off your face. Enjoy your time as champion, because money changes everything. On the scale of AEW Mercedes promos, this might have been the best one.
It still wasn't good. This was a Voltron of things we complained about during the show.
Yep.
This was the Serena Deeb, they almost took wrestling away from me promo, combined with Christian doing the I'm going to say another city in hopes of getting heat promo, combined with the Jericho and Young Bucks disingenuous babyface promo.
Although I'm pretty sure she's a heel now.
All right.
I'm positive that when
we
get to...
But she's doing the disingenuous babyface heel promo.
Is she?
She says, 18 days away from my big debut, and I've been
doing
all this...
But she also said she's going to wipe the stupid smile off Willow's face.
Yeah, she eventually says that.
But
up to that point...
Okay.
She's being the company woman and the big free agent acquisition, and I can't wait. And, they tried to take wrestling from me, but I came back, and I fought tooth and nail to get back here.
Yeah.
This sucked. And I love Mercedes, man, and this is just disappointing me. And all I see on her face when she's doing this promo is, number one, just play the character till the camera turns off, and also, man, I wish they'd release me so I could go back to WWE.
Matt, I put this up on the screen.
It's not quite boo-boo face, and we know that she can get boo-boo face if she's losing.
The only question I have is, how long is she actually signed for?
That was 3 years.
Is that out? Because I haven't heard that anywhere.
I thought it was a 3-year deal or 5-year.
Okay, I haven't heard anything. So to me, the fact that they didn't say anything means it could be like a year.
And if that's true, great.
I have no idea. Matt, I put this up on the screen, but for those listening on the Fight Game Media audio feed, he said the weird thing with Mercedes is she actually talks like that in real life. She has a nice voice, but just sounds insincere, and that's it. Like, that's
the
problem.
But do we know that? Because every time we see her, she's on camera talking.
True.
So she might be playing it up for social media or something like that.
Could be.
That
just could might be. I've never met her, so I can't say.
I haven't either. I had a chance to, but I said no.
I came close. I probably could have, honestly. When I was at WrestleMania with Emily, I did see her and Bayley, and I could have probably, went up and said something. But I
had a chance in San Jose. Mookie turns to me and goes, "You want to meet her?"
Oh, and he said no.
Because Amanda Huber's good friends with her.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, no, I'm not that guy. I'm not good. This is even before she got called up to the main roster and stuff like that. But I was singing her praises to Mookie and Damian. And they didn't know who she was.
So he was in that crew already by then, eh?
What? Well, no.
This is after.
This is San Jose. This is NXT San Jose, the first show they ever did.
Right, and Mookie could have introduced you at that time.
Yeah.
So how did Mookie know her?
Northeast Indies.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or John knew her.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
John Huber. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So then we got Lexi with Copeland and Kyle. Lexi asked Copeland, "How does it feel to have an ally?" Copeland says it's a relief. He said, "That dude is." What did I write? "That dude is back. I was in travel." The hell did I write down here? Kyle said, "I'm happy to help." And he asked for a match with Copeland on Saturday, and Copeland accepted. And he says, "That's the only reason you saved me." And the crowd booed.
If we're going to turn Copeland heel, this needs to have a little bit more dichotomy in it and actually use some of Copeland's.
Is that what's happening? I guess it's possible.
This feels like he's doing Smeagol / Gollum.
Okay.
Where he's getting possessive of his belt, and he's starting to get paranoid that this is the only reason people are being friends with him, type of a thing.
But even was that thing he did last week after the Matthews match, was that leading to a heel turn too? Like, I was so confused.
Well,
by
he's
that.
Doing his promo, and it didn't look like Kyle was staring at the belt, and he just said, "Eyes up here, Kyle."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that wasn't earned necessarily, and that I noticed that. And then is that the only reason you saved me was to get a title shot?
Yeah.
Type of a thing. It's a slow burn.
It'll be interesting who's the babyface. I think that they think that because they're in Vancouver, Kyle O'Reilly is going to be the babyface. But nobody in Vancouver knows who Kyle O'Reilly is. And I think Copeland's going to be the babyface in that match.
Although if this then turns into then Kyle O'Reilly decides to turn and join the Undisputed Kingdom, it's going to stink.
That could be, because I don't think those fans are going to cheer him. I could be wrong, but I mean, they've done a good job of establishing that he's from Vancouver.
I'm making up a story in my head because the story that they're telling is that Malachi Black's going to knows that Edge is, or that Copeland's really a scumbag, and he's going to lead him back to his dark forces. So I would assume, given that this company is so big on narrative continuity, that we would then be showing that with the Copeland character in some way. And he's either going to give in or he's going to fight against it.
Why does every feud that the House of Black is in involve them trying to get people to join?
Because they're a lot like the Wyatt family, and that they're a terrible cult with bad recruiting.
And the Dark Order.
Yes. Yeah. Join us. No.
Dark Order actually was better. They managed to get to seven
people.
They
grew their numbers. They got some dues paying people.
And then they got fired. All right. Next, we get our main event segment.
Hey, Alan Five Angels rode around on her lawnmower, and they never paid that damn thing off for a year and a half, but he got paid every week.
Now he's hosting a talk show segment on TNA. Believe it or not. Bucks are out with Okada and Jack Perry, and they said the show doesn't end till we say it's over. Matthew got an overrun from the network, and Shivani said, "Who the hell does he think he is?" So they got an important message. Kazuchika Okada has a note for Kenny, and so he says, "Hey Kenny, the best bout machine says get well soon," and then he does the bang bang kiss and goodnight thing. And then Matthew says, "Speaking of unwell people, Tony Khan, you're the best boss I ever worked for, and I hope you're feeling better too. We were never here to try and hurt AEW. We want to make AEW a better place, and you got in our way, and we had no choice but to give you a Tony Khan driver. And Kenny Omega, you decided to end a 15-year-long friendship, so we had to give the EVP an EVP trigger. And Kenny, the only reason FTR saved you is because they hate us, not because they like you. And FTR, if you want anarchy in the arena, that's what you're going to get. But good luck finding two people with big enough balls to face the Elite, because we run this damn show." The promo was fine. And then out comes FTR. Cash is wearing a Chris Farley shirt.
I appreciate Cash's ironic T-shirt collection now.
We had
Bart Simpson, and now Chris Farley.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for like a Seinfeld shirt in a week.
Yeah, or
let's go Blues really
Brothers.
Let's go really obscure. You know, let's get like I was gonna say like News Radio or something like that.
Or I mean, it's kind of similar to what they already did, but the what's that? The Outer Space Family, the Coneheads.
Coneheads.
Conehead shirt.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Although
the Coneheads weren't popular in the '90s, but okay. Nobody saw that movie.
Oh, okay, okay. Maybe Married with Children.
Married with Children would be a good one.
Yeah. X-Files. Anyways, they're out there. And Dak said they found a couple guys with big balls. And they play Eddie Kingston's music. He comes out. Fans go nuts. They
yes,
Eddie.
This is okay. You got to be in a fight. Here comes the guy who almost tried to light somebody on fire in an Anarchy in the Arena match. We're good with this. Now, you see, Eddie is the first choice. Who are you thinking the second choice is?
To be honest, I thought
it was going to be Mark Briscoe.
Oh, that would have worked. I kind of thought it was going to be Daniel Garcia.
Because those two had been teaming of late. I thought Daniel Garcia was the logical choice for the first person.
Yeah. But it was Bryan Danielson. And the fans went crazy when his music started because they didn't know they were going to see him. But he makes less than no sense.
He makes no sense whatsoever.
Doesn't he hate Kenny Omega?
Yes.
Okay. He is buddies with Tony Khan, so in that sense, it it kind of makes sense a little bit. And Eddie Kingston's a big funny guy, but you know what this also is? It's three guys that were there at the beginning of AEW that helped establish AEW along with Kazuchika Okada.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the babyface team.
No, against four guys who are all outsiders.
Yes. Nothing says team AEW
like a bunch of outsiders. I mean, really, if you're talking shoot, this should have been Orange Cassidy, Darby Allin.
Sammy.
Obviously, he's injured. He can't do it. Sammy Guevara.
And MJF.
Yes. Like, that's who it should have been.
The Pillars minus Jungle Boy.
But we got three guys that are injured. I mean, Orange Cassidy should be injured. He's not. But, okay, two guys that are injured, one guy that's occupied, and one guy that's suspended. So we can't do the Pillars. But that's who it should have been. Or the BCC. I mean, you know, the BCC would make sense because half of Moxley's promos are... You know who I thought it was going to be? I thought it was going to be Copeland because he's buddy-buddy with Tony and he's been rah-rah AEW and all that, you know, shit. And I think the other name I said was Danielson. So I thought it was going to be Copeland and Danielson.
When they announced FTR, I was shocked because I had forgotten that they were in the promo last week. That's how forgettable they were to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they saved Tony, right? Or they saved Kenny.
Kind of. But then it's like, okay, so the one's going to be exactly dancing guy. Daniel Garcia. Yeah. And then they'll have a surprise, and maybe it's, you know, Hangman, or maybe it's, you know, Mox would have been fine here, or Eddie, or something of that effect. But yeah, okay, Eddie's good. FTR, fine. Actually, I saw some people saying this is where they debut the Motor City Machine Guns. I go, you got to be crazy. That would be stupid.
Okay, so I actually had two separate guesses for the two people. My first thing I said was, if the last two guys on Team AEW are Chris Jericho and Adam Copeland, I'm done. Like, I'm just, see ya. It's been fun. I've enjoyed the Dynamite Show, but
maybe Claudio and Danielson.
Yeah, but Copeland would have been bad. The other one, I actually thought it was going to be, my official guess was Daniel Garcia and Bryan Danielson. Okay. So I think that would have made sense. I think Kingston's probably a better match. And honestly, if you're in a fight, you'd probably rather have Kingston than Garcia.
No, so you want a technical wrestler.
Yeah. So we got our main event for, and they had a brawl. Matthew told Eddie, if you touch me, you'll be fined. And Eddie punched him in the face. Yeah.
Now this may not be the final team then.
Oh, he might get suspended?
He might get suspended by the Bucks just to get heat, and then they bring in Daniel Garcia.
Oh, my God.
Which would make little sense, but they could then bring that all together.
Yeah. Eddie can just come in and get involved anyway.
And this is how Garcia gets Danielson's respect and gets an invitation to the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah.
And then Yuta comes back and he's mad about it.
So I forgot to point out, with a couple minutes left in the...
This booking thing ain't hard, kids. Look at me. Right.
With a couple minutes left in the main event wrestling match, Excalibur mentions casually that, a programming note... This Saturday, Collision is back in its normal time slot at 8 p.m. on Saturday. And immediately following Collision will be Rampage live. So 3-hour block of AEW programming on TNT Saturday night. Okay, great. They didn't announce a single match.
Well, then, not only that, and then they said, oops, wrong channel. It's on TBS, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know that. So then later on, during the it's somewhere in between all those promos that they did after the main event, they again pointed out that they, you know, we're back to back Rampage, Collision, blah, blah, blah. That's probably when they changed the station. And then we did get the one match announced, Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Copeland. That's it. That's all they've announced. Like, if you're buying a ticket to go to Rampage and Collision in Vancouver and you're wondering what's going to be on the show, just show up. There'll be some matches. Don't worry about it.
Look, you're going to get Brian Keith.
Are you?
I don't know. Maybe Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo.
Maybe that London Lightning Takeshita match they promised in Winnipeg last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which I still have no idea. Like, we were in the building. They never told us that that match was coming.
Sure, Top Flight versus Private Party's never been seen before. They might do that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get the guns against...
The Lucha Brothers? You think they show up for a Saturday? Because I think...
Ray Phoenix? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. No, okay, so guns against Brian Keith and Commander.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we have a 3-hour block of wrestling on Saturday night, and we have not a clue what's on the show other than Excalibur as the show was going off the air. Oh, I just got a message from Tony Khan. Bryan Danielson's going to be on Collision, and he's going to be in Seattle next week for Dynamite. See ya. Bye.
We'll see you Saturday for AEW Mystery Vortex.
At this point, there's nobody watching because everyone shuts off the show after the main event's done. We've seen the quarter hours. We know that. So yeah, it's this thing is falling off the rails, dude.
It's not because there's money behind it.
But
creatively, it's unless you are our friend Brad, and God bless him for trying to take you to task, even though I find him incorrect and he thinks we're far too negative on the product. This is to me, it's almost unwatchable at times, and it's disjointed, and. It's like I want to know what's important.
Yeah.
And it's just, well, we're doing wrestling. And it feels like, again, I said this problem before, like that first segment just threw me out of the thing because I just want some old grizzled vet to go, why didn't you guys sell any of those moves that you did to each other as injuries type of a thing? I feel like we have a lot of people who are good natured and know wrestling in terms of modern wrestling in the last 10-15 years, but they don't know television and they don't know television wrestling. They know super indie type stuff. They know TNA and maybe a little bit of Ring of Honor, but they don't know anything about a successful company for the most part. And unfortunately, the people they're bringing in are WWE lifer types who don't really know anything else. So it's a bad mix for me. And I like the guys. I found a lot of this pointless tonight.
I think that what happened was they a couple of weeks ago, they started panicking a bit because some of those ratings came in and they weren't very good. And I mean, they're barely beating NXT at this point. And they came up with an idea. They're like, we're going to be in Jacksonville the week of the draft. Let's put Tony in a pile driver and then he can go to the draft and he's going to be wearing a neck brace and it's going to go viral and I'm going to get on the NFL network and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they did it all and people were talking, but there's very few people actually talking about it in the grand scheme of things. And by the time we got to next week, which was last week, nobody watched the show.
You know what that was? That is, we have the idea for a punchline for a sketch.
Yes, but we don't have,
have a sketch.
Yeah. And then last week, same thing. Oh, we got this great idea for Heat in Winnipeg. We're going to bring Kenny Omega back and we're going to hurt him in his hometown. And it's going to get, and we'll have Kenny cut this amazing promo ahead of time to get all this sympathy. And then we're going to like do the one thing that he said could kill him. And legitimately, if I get touched in the stomach, I could die. And of course, the first thing they do is hit him in this chair with his stomach. Oh, imagine the Heat. They don't know what to do for a follow-up. That
will tease a V-trigger.
But they don't know what to do for a follow-up.
No.
So, and then it's, here we are. And then it's like, oh, shit, we got a pay-per-view to book. What are we going to do? So Tony goes and does an interview yesterday, I think, on social media or some podcast. And he says, well, I can't defend myself because I'm just a 140-pound untrained wrestler. And Kenny, he's in the hospital. He can't. But somebody is going to step up and defend AEW. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the best you got?
Corporate fealty, man.
Yeah. So now we have...
Stand up for your billionaire.
FTR, yeah. Standing up for the billionaires. FTR, Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston, that's all he stands for. Is like, yo, yeah,
I'm actually here for that match that Matthew just put in the chat. Tommy Billington versus Dax Harwood. Oh, yeah.
Is that an actual match?
It looks that way, yeah.
Why didn't they? Oh, yeah, here it is.
Although Billington ain't signed.
Oh, my God.
I'm here for this, man.
This guy Hang on.
Dax. So it's going to be awesome.
I think I can share. Hang on. How do you do this? Do you know how to share? I don't know how to share.
You mean in
anyways,
general?
Go on Twitter. I'll retweet it right now. Tommy Billington and Dax Harwood Saturday. God, he looks like dynamite. Oh
yes,
my God,
he does.
Scary.
But again, I mean, look, I want to know if there's a giant whiteboard in any office in the complex in Jacksonville with the, I know he has a notebook, but I mean, you have all the moving parts and you know what they're planning from week to week to week to week to week. Cause I don't think you do because there's too much television to book. So it's like, well, because right now what he's doing is he's going, okay, what do I book for next week? When next week should already be booked. We should know what the show is next week.
And when this show first started, they used to do that. Did they not? I believe they did.
A little bit, I guess, but it's always kind of been on the fly.
Yeah. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Here we go.
What has your attention right now?
This.
Because I'm ready to wrap this show up.
Can you see this?
Yes, I can.
All right. It's Mina and Mariah.
Hot girl wrestling. Hashtag.
Yeah. All right. There we go. We're done. All right. The show's over.
go home.
Yeah. No. Hey, everybody. This has been great. Hope you enjoyed Dynamite.
This is turning into an AEW match where it just keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do your plugs.
At Crap Game 13, I do a show called Shake Them Ropes this week. We'll be talking about this. We'll be talking about news. We'll be talking about that hot French crowd that WWE had. Ooh. And I'll be called somebody who simps for WWE because I'll be overtly praising the stuff they did on Raw. I'll trash NXT, though. So that'll come out later this week, myself and Chris November.
Oh, that show was garbage. Yes. Last night. I got the joy of wrestling. I just did a show with Keela Cash where we talked about NXT Brooklyn. And that was a lot of fun. And I'm still working on a guest for next week. The guest I was supposed to have has moved to the following week. So we'll talk about that later. But I still need a guest for next week. So I'm working on it. And Monday at 11 Eastern, unless we change the time, but that's usually the scheduled time. So it's an awesome show, Joy of Wrestling, where we just talk about the pure things that make us happy about pro wrestling. So
yes.
For Jeff, I've been Paul, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
We'll do better next week, kids.
Yay!
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.